Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
It's a privilege to come into His presence to study the Word of God together. And today we remember the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem to begin His passion, to begin His journey to go to the cross. And so we'll look at some scriptures and let God minister to us. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verse 1 to 11. Thank you for coming out. Such a joy to see everyone. Mark 11, 1 to 11. Thank you, Lord. It says, now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, and He said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately He will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and He sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when He had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, He went out to Bethany with the 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. There are three accounts. Mark talks about this account. There's an account in John, and there's an account in Luke as well. But we'll look at the account in John here shortly. But there are some important lessons that we can glean from here. When He drew near to Jerusalem, He sent His servant his disciples ahead of Him, to go and look for a colt. But the thing here is that He knew where His provision was. He knew what God had prepared for him. He knew exactly where he was and where to go to look for it. And he said, he made an important statement. He says, when you go into the village opposite you, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. No one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say that the master has need of it. Jesus is getting ready to enter Jerusalem, but He's getting ready to enter triumphantly. He says, you will find a colt tied. I have need of it. We can spend quite some time there. But you see, so many times when we come into the kingdom of God, for other people, sometimes they may be outside. They are bound. But God loses us. God frees us for His service because He has need for our lives. He wants to take our lives and use it for His glory. No matter what we are bound with, that is the reason why Jesus Christ came. Oh, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He releases us. He frees us. So that we may serve Him. Notice what He says in Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. What is the reason that He is releasing them from Egypt? That they may do what? That they may serve Him. The people had been in captivity for 430 years. When they cried out to God, God sent them a deliverer. God sent them Moses. Oh, but he says, when you go, say to them, let my people go that they may serve me. This morning, no matter what you may be tied up with, no matter what you may be bound with, oh, or you may be free already, in the name of Jesus, God is declaring your liberty in every area of your life that you may serve him. That you may serve him. He doesn't want us bound by anything. He wants us free. So that we may serve him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And another thing that happened, it says that the people threw their clothes on the ground. They threw palm branches on the ground. But if you carefully look at it, who was walking on the clothes? Who was walking on the palm tree? It was the colt. When we make a decision to serve the Lord, there are benefits to serving the Lord. That colt, oh, I'm sure, with one happy colt walking around in Jerusalem. I get the privilege for Jesus to ride on my back on his journey to Jerusalem. Oh, there are other colts around. But thanks be to God, I was the one that he was privileged to find and to walk on and to sit on. My Lord and my God. There was a prophet in Numbers chapter 23. I don't have this on my notes, but it'll help somebody. Somebody's pulling it out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Though that prophet was resisting the plan of God concerning the children of Israel. And, oh my Lord. And at some point, an angel stood before him, resisting him and trying to get him out of the way. But the donkey or the colt that he was riding on, God spoke through that colt to the prophet who was getting out of the way. That story blesses me. If God can use colt, if God can speak through a colt, if he can use even animals to speak his way through, how much more you and I that are children of the Most High God, that are called by God with the Holy Spirit indwelling us. He will take your life and use it for his glory. My. Glory. Just make ourselves available to the Lord. Lord, take my life. Use it for your glory. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Something else happened in John chapter 12, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 12, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. This was John's account after Jesus entered Jerusalem, after Lazarus had been raised from the dead. The disciples said, are you going to Jerusalem again? They were looking to kill you. Are you going there again? John chapter 12, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 12. Let me go there. I mean, now there were certain Greeks among those who came out to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, my servants will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Certain Greeks came to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, sir, We wait to see Jesus. We wait to see Jesus. That is my heart cry for you and for us in this season, that you will have a revelation of Jesus, that you will see Jesus. May you see him in all his glory. May you see him in every area of your life. Oh, as you make a decision and a choice, oh Lord, I want to see you. My heart cry is to see you made manifest in my life. Say, Lord, I want to see you. Ay, yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul got to that point. I'll come back to my friends here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians 3, 10. Notice what he says. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being conformed to his death. That was the heart cry of this man, similar to these Greeks that had come to see Jesus. That I may know him. That I may see him. Jesus is still appearing to people. Oh, he said after his resurrection, about 500 people saw him at once. You see, when you encounter, the best way to encounter him is through his word. When you encounter Jesus, or when you see him, when your heart cry is, I want to see Jesus. Your heart cry is, I want to know him. Your heart cry is, I want to serve him. Oh, that makes all the difference. He becomes your sole reason for living. I want to know him. And not only know him, and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know him. I want to know the Lord Jesus. I pray that that will be our heart cry in this season as we remember. Oh, the triumphant entry of Jesus. I want to know him and to know him in his fullness. I want to see him. My prayer is that he will reveal himself to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So in John chapter 12, glory be to the name of the Lord. Going back to that story, they come saying that we want to see Jesus. And in verse 23, John 23, the first word that comes out of the mouth of Jesus when they see him is, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Jesus has the reason and the purpose for which he came on his mind. The Son of Man, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Then verse 24, he says, I mean, if you wanted to see Jesus, if you had traveled from far away or wherever they came from to see Jesus, what are the first words you want to hear? Jesus has an important lesson for them. Let's get into it. 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. It produces much grain. Jesus is saying that the hour has come for him to be glorified. He's saying that if he stays, he's comparing, there's an eightfold illustration that we see here. He says, except there is a necessity for me to die. There is a necessity for me to give my life, number one. Number two, he says, fall into the ground. There is a cause. Fall into the ground. Number three, he's saying that my present state is not where I'm supposed to be. I must die. Except it fall into the ground and dies. Number five, there is unselfishness. Except it falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. It will stay alone. Oh, if he decides, you see, it comes down to a choice at that point. If he decides not to give his life and to go the way of the cross, he abides alone as the Son, only Son of God. God will forever not have a family. He remains alone. He remains alone. Sometimes people say, Proverbs 18:24 talks about the fact that he who have many friends must first show himself friendly. He must plant a seed of being friendly, then he will have friends. How did I get on that one? Thank you, Lord. But he says, and then number six, he says, but when it dies, when it falls into the ground, if it dies, it bringeth forth. It produces much grain. There is a resurrection that takes place. Seven, he talks about purpose. Much fruit will come as a result, much grain. The redemption of the world. The word there for grain is kokos. The Greek word is kokos. It's used in other places. But you see, a seed has the potential to multiply. Oh, but you can have a seed in your hand. If you keep that seed abides alone. We come into this world as individuals. Oh, but we must make a decision like the Lord Jesus Christ did, that I will not abide alone. God has a plan for my life. My life will make a difference. There is meaning and purpose to my life. It will make significant impact on the life of somebody. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Number eight, there is that mystery of the seed. Oh, scientists can trace the seed, how it goes into the ground and the processes it goes through, but they cannot explain the fact that some way, somehow, the seed multiplies. No, they cannot explain that. When our lives are yielded to God, it produces much fruit. It produces much grain. Many people's lives are profited by it. Think about it. Every time someone gets saved and born again into the kingdom of God, that is a harvest on the seed of the life of Jesus Christ that has produced. This week I had an interesting encounter. I went out into the community during an outreach, and two people got saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But this gentleman, I was in this particular unit. It was a set of condos, and I was putting out flyers and tracts, and I happened to run into this gentleman sitting there, and I started sharing the gospel with him. And I before I left, I said, Lord, as I go, lead me, let me, which place should I go, number one? And lead me today that someone will be born into the kingdom of God. Let it be a fruitful tree. I said that to the Lord. This person gave their life to Jesus, and I took their phone number so I can follow up with them. And then I turned around, was leaving. I normally I'll take their address and follow up. So I'm looking around, and I was like, every door has a door number. Where's the door number to this place? And I looked on the other side, and it had a door number. And then I said, okay, I'll use this as a reference. This person is here, opposite on this side. And then I kept going around, and then it dawned on me that I was at the back of the unit. In the natural, I wouldn't go putting flyers on doors at the back of units. Oh, but God knew that that gentleman was right there, and he was hungry and crying out, and he was ready for the gospel, and a miracle has just happened before me. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He led me in the way to go. He led me in the path to go. But yesterday when I was studying and looking at this scripture, it dawned on me that the seed of David that God planted was still producing, and right there and then it produced again. He wasn't abiding alone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, that didn't happen to me because I'm a pastor. No. It can happen to all of us. We wake up every day with that purpose in our heart that I refuse to enter eternity alone. Lord, who do you want to use me today to reach out to so I can take them to heaven with me? I don't want to be alone. We are sensitive. Oh, Jesus is coming soon. You and I, he has a plan for our lives. Oh, but it starts with that day-by-day walk and day-by-day step with him. Notice he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, verse 26, John 12, 26, my Father will honor. My Father will honor. If you try to keep your life, you lose it. Put it in the hands of the Master as a seed. It will multiply and make a difference. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know the power that raised him from the dead, but I want to know the multiplication effect of that resurrection in my life as well. As you serve the Lord, I see God honoring you. I said, as you serve the Lord, I see God honoring you. As you serve the Lord, I see God honoring you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There are benefits to serving the Lord. Notice what he says in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He that serves me, I will honor. My Father will honor. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. You shall do what? Serve the Lord your God. And he will bless your bread and your water. He will take sickness. That's my insurance policy right there. No insurance company on this earth offers that. Oh, he will do what? Take sickness away. This is even the Old Testament. And the Bible talks about the fact that we have a better covenant established on better promises. Hebrews chapter 8. So under the Old Covenant, potentially, if they did obey God and serve the Lord, he would take sickness away from the midst of them. The number of their days, they will fulfill. When you are on the go for the Lord, when you are serving the Lord, he is committed to taking sickness away from the midst of you. When you are dedicated to the Lord, he says, none shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. Oh, not only would they not be barren from a physical standpoint, but in the name of Jesus, your life will be one of fruitfulness. Your life will make a difference. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The seed, you see, there is power in the seed. The ground may say it has the dead covered. The seed will say, no, the life of God is in me. The life of God is in me. Notice what he says in Mark chapter 40, verse 30. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark 4, 30 to 32. He says, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. The whole kingdom of God, he's saying, comparing it to that seed principle. He's saying that it is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. Oh, but when that seed is sown, it grows up. It grows up. It grows up and becomes greater. It grows up and becomes greater. It grows up and becomes greater. Oh, the seed of God's word, oh, when it is sown in your life, has the potential to grow and to become greater than whatever you may be faced with. Oh, the seed of your life, when it is yielded to God, when it is put in the hands of God, has the potential to make an impact and an influence on so many people. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And other, he says, and shoot out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under his shade. The seed of David. He calls him the seed of David. Oh, that God sowed is still producing fruit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son as a seed. For what reason? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That seed is producing. It is becoming greater in your life. It is becoming greater in the life of nations. It is becoming greater and still producing. One person yielded to God can make a difference in the life of so many people. Don't count yourself out. No. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. I have a message. I call it the power of one. I won't preach it this morning. But I'm getting close to it. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness, as the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By one man's sin, oh, death reigned through that one, referring to Adam. By his sin, death continued to reign. Oh, but I like this phrase. Every time I see this phrase in the Bible, it does something to me. Much more. Much more. Much more. Much more. Much more, much more. What God did in Christ is greater than what Satan did in Adam. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. It is greater. But it, notice, it's through one man. Death reigned. Oh, but through one man, Jesus, we who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will be the one that are always down and being ruled over. No. Is that what the Bible says? No. Oh, I was checking to see if you are paying attention to what we are talking about or reading. They will do what? Oh, through Jesus Christ, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign in life. Ay, 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 ay. Through a man, disobedience, all judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even through one man, obedience, many will be made righteous. Ah, glory be to the name of the Lord. Get excited about God's word. Oh, glory. Oh, this morning I have come to announce to you by the word of the Lord, through your obedience to God, you may be one, but I see your life making a difference. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, when our lives are yielded to God, oh, God gives our lives significance. God causes our life to make a difference. But if we decide not to give our life to the Lord, we abide alone. But if we make a decision and a choice, the Lord, I want my life to make a difference, then it makes a difference. 1 Corinthians 15:37 says, and what you sow, do you not know? 1 Corinthians 15:37. Actually, if you start from 36, it says, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. He's using a grain here. Oh, God is the one that gives the grain, that gives the body to the seed that we've sown. When we give of our time, of our talents, of our finances, of our lives to the Lord, oh, he will see to it that the body that seed should have, he will make sure it receives that body. Oh, the plan of God for your life may be different from mine. Oh, but he will make sure that your life receives, your life make the impact that is supposed to make. Oh, that is what I discovered very young in my Christian walk. And I said, Lord, take my life and use it for your glory. Take my life and use it to make a difference. Take my life and use it to make an impact. Jesus gave his life and he's still making a difference. My Lord, every day, help me to yield my life to you. Let's look at a couple of people that did this in the Bible and the result. Luke chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 5 from verse 1. We'll glean some nuggets from there. You said that was Jesus. What about my good friend Peter? Let's look at him. Luke chapter 5 from verse 1. And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to him, to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boat to the land, they forsook all and followed him. The multitude were present about him to hear the word of God. That's significant. To hear the word of God. And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. You notice, every time these people came, they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. That's what makes the difference. The word of God. As you are sitting here this morning, something is happening inside you. Why? You are being served with the word of God. You are ready to take on any mountain and move it. He saw two boats standing by the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them. Then he went into one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. His first encounter with Peter is with his boat. That's what Peter has at that time. He can decide that this teacher, I'll keep my boat. If you want to preach, stand on the shore and preach. Do your preaching. I'm very tired here. I've worked all night long. I've washed my net. I'm ready to go home. He has a choice. You see, all of us come to that choice at some point. My nets are washed. A hard worker, yes. He has a family to feed, yes. Does he have something to show for his effort? No. Oh, but the answer to his problem is standing right there. He's in the presence of Jesus. Jesus knew all about that empty boat when he saw it. He knew all about that empty boat. And his plan, he has something to do, but first he takes the boat. Oh, gives him a little stage above the people where the people can see him, and he continues ministering. When he finishes, thanks be to God, he still has that empty boat on his mind. Peter has told on that. He says, let launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Jesus knows that the deep is where the harvest is. You've given your boat to me as a seed. Now I'm ready to multiply it and give you a harvest of abundance. Peter says, Master, I'm not sure if you know, we have toiled all night. We are fishermen. We know what we are doing. We've been here all night. We have caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Jesus said net, he let down one net. This rabbi, I'm not sure he understands the fishing industry. We fish at night. In the daytime, in the nighttime, when we are supposed to catch them, they were running from us at 70 miles per hour. How much more during the day? Oh, but if you say so, I'll try it. I'll do it. He let down the net, but the fish don't run away from Jesus. The harvest doesn't run away from Jesus. They run to Jesus. That's another sermon. But anyway, he brought one net. He had washed the cleaner. We'll just take one that is of no use. That will be easy to wash and we'll be done with. He got an abundance of fish he had to call other people to help him. But the point that he said, now he realized, verse 6, he realized what he had done. He says, he realized that the mistake that he had made. He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Depart from me. He realized, oh Lord, depart from me. Today we may put it, a man may put it in different words. Lord, I have messed up. I'm not ready to be called your child. I'm not ready for you to take my life and do something with it. I'm not perfect. I'm not the right person. I'm not good enough. We may put it in different words, but he's saying similar thing. Realize everybody that God called in the Bible, most people had an excuse. Moses said, I can't talk. God said, if you can't talk, I have Aaron, he can talk. Jonah had an excuse. God, you are so merciful. If I go, these people will repent. He took a ship and was going the other direction. He ended up in the belly of the fish. And eventually got on the right road. Don't be that one. Oh, but listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, beyond this fish, you gave me your boat. You gave it to me. I have a greater plan and a greater purpose for your life. Notice Jesus didn't respond to what he was saying. I'm a sinful man. Forget that. I have a great plan and a purpose for your life. If you are willing to yield it to me, I will take it and do something with it. From today, you will not just be catching fish. You will be a fisher of men. Oh, glory. Your life may just be one individual. But yield that to God. At some point, Peter even denied Jesus. He said, I don't know him. I don't know him. Jesus said, you betray me. He said, no, I won't betray you. He wasn't perfect. Oh, but on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon his life and he was empowered by God, that same Peter preached the powerful message. The Bible says that the people were cut to the heart. Oh, and they said, what shall we do to be saved? Jesus said, repent, believe, and be baptized, and you will be saved. That same day, oh, the prophecy that Jesus had given him was fulfilled. 3,000 people were added into the kingdom of God. Oh, Peter's life was now transformed by that power. In the mighty name of Jesus, this morning, I see people whose lives are making a difference for God. I see you. Your life is making an impact as you yield it to God. Your life is making an impact in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, not only in this generation, but for generations to come. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Don't count yourself out. Well, how do I get there? It all starts with a decision. I may be here today. Oh, but Jesus, take my life. Oh, and use it for your glory. Every day, take my life and use it to make a difference. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, there was one man, Nehemiah. Oh, he saw the broken walls of Jerusalem. One man. You see, that's what it takes. One person making a decision that they will serve the Lord. That whatever is going on, they will make a difference. Notice how the Bible describes him. What happened? Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Nehemiah 1, 3. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. He says, and they said to me, the survivors who are led from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is so also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Other people may have heard the same thing. It didn't make a difference to them. When he heard it, he sat down and wept. When you look around you and you see broken lives, people that are on the broad way that leads to hell, you see life that you see great potential, but the enemy is wrecking. What do you do? What do you do? He fasted, sat down and wept. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then verse 11 says, he went to the king. He says, oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. He was a servant in the house of the king. But you're saying that I see these broken walls. I'm just one person, but Lord, I pray I pray. Oh, you see, when we seek his kingdom first, that's what makes the difference. Grant me mercy in the sight of this man. And in chapter 2, verse 2, he continues, therefore, the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? That's another sermon. If you always go to work with your face sad, to the day that you are sick, they may not make they may not see you, but you will not be sick. Anyway, there is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. That's something, I mean, he was not used to. That means he went to work tearful all the time. He was the king's cupbearer. King, how might I be of service to you today? So that day that something was wrong, the king noticed this. Anyway, that's not the end. And he said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city of my father's tombs lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? Notice, so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your eyes, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Oh, verse 8 says, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gate of the citadel which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according, notice, to the good hand of my God upon me. The good hand of my God upon me, because he made a decision, because he was burdened about the house of God, because he was burdened about the city of God, because he had a heart to yield his life into the hands of God. Oh, the hand of God gave him favor in the eyes of the king, and in 52 days, the whole wall was rebuilt. And in Nehemiah 5:14, he became the governor of the land. He went from being the king's cupbearer to being a governor. One life yielded to God. When you yield your life to God, his hand comes on your life. And in the mighty name of Jesus, you will not remain in that place forever. Your life will keep going forward and making progress. For this morning, oh, as we make a decision that we will not abide alone, as Jesus made a decision that he will go to the cross, he will go to that city and make an impact and go and be saved. Sacrifice in the mighty name of Jesus, may you know his multiplying power and effect in your life. And finally, in Mark chapter 11, in Mark, where we read earlier on, Mark 11, he says he went into the temple. That's one of the things that he did. He went into the temple. He went into the temple. Verse 15, Mark 11, 15, he said, first he went there and surveyed him. Then verse 15, so they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who sold and bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the table of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he will not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves? As we remember his entry into Jerusalem, when he got there, he's like, what's going on in this place? Oh, you and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost. As we remember, oh, may he step into your temple. May he step into your life, and anything in your body that is not supposed to be there, it may be sickness, it may be disease. Oh, may he put that fan in there and sweep it clean. Oh, so that temple can be used to glorify the Lord. And anything in your life that doesn't please him, in the mighty name of Jesus, may he sweep it out this morning, so that temple can glorify the Lord. In the name of Jesus, oh, receive his cleansing power in your life this morning, so your life can glorify the Lord. This is not supposed to be in my body. That body is the temple of God. That body is supposed to please me. That body is supposed to serve me. I have a plan for your life. My prayer is this morning that we make a fresh commitment to the Lord. No life has gone too far for God to be able not to yield. If he's able to take your life and do something with it, that's you. I believe that. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This morning, if you are watching online, if you are listening to this message, and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you can do that. But I'm impressed specifically, if you once knew the Lord, and for some reason, you may have stepped back, you may have stepped away from him. Oh, this morning is your morning. Come to the Lord, and he will take your life and do something with it. Take your life and do something with it. If you want to come back to the Lord this morning, just raise your hands and I will pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just say, Lord, if you are listening on to this after the fact, just and you want to give your life to the Lord as well, just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. You came to die for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. I receive you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. I'm saved. And if you knew him and at some point you walked away, oh, like the prodigal son, but you are saying I'm coming back. Just say, Lord, take me back. Restore me in Jesus' name. Help me to live my life to serve you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let's rise to our feet this morning. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's place our hand on our hearts and say, Lord, I commit my life to you. One more time. I dedicate my life to you, my time, my talent, my finances, my influence, all of my life. I put it into your hand. Take it and use it for your glory. I do not want to abide alone. Show me ways I can reach out to hurting people, to broken lives, and to see others restored and be born again into your kingdom. Help me, Lord, to do this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let's give him praise and glory. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord.
Resurrection season,
Anything that is dead or dying in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak life to it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's raise up our hands one more time, please. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine on you. May He give you His peace, His shalom. Nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. This week, as we enter this resurrection season, is declared a week of testimonies. It's declared a week of testimonies. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say aloud, amen this morning. Say aloud, amen this morning. Thank you, Lord. What a mighty visitation of God. Glory be to the name of the Lord.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535. Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Google+. Be our guest this weekend at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 10 a.m. May the blessings of the Lord be with you.
You